NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents The Space Story. In 1985, a team of British scientists monitoring ozone levels over Antarctica reported some rather ominous news. Their data showed that atmospheric ozone, which protects life on Earth from harmful ultraviolet radiation, was disappearing at an alarming rate. The finding was confirmed by a little-known instrument called the Total Ozone Mapping Spectrometer, or TOMS, orbiting on NASA's Nimbus 7 satellite. Jack Kay, NASA's program scientist for TOMS, explains.
When the scientists from the British Antarctic Survey first reported these very low ozone values over Antarctica, they just had data from two stations, and it was hard to know just what that meant. But what TOMS did was it let you get a map over the whole continent of Antarctica, and you could see that this wasn't just some peculiarity over one measurement location, but it was really a continental phenomenon. It was the ozone hole.
Since then, TOMS has been a critical source of information about this urgent environmental problem. The original TOMS instrument stopped working last year after 15 years in space. A follow-on instrument launched in 1991 is now approaching the end of its designed life. So NASA plans to launch the first of a new generation of TOMS this spring to continue long-term monitoring of ozone as part of the agency's mission to planet Earth. Kay says that the Antarctic ozone hole results from unique weather patterns over the South Pole that allow ozone to be destroyed more efficiently.
The actual dirty work in ozone destruction is done by chemical reactions involving chlorine atoms. The chlorine atoms get into the stratosphere mainly by chlorofluorocarbons and other industrially produced molecules. So to form an ozone hole, you need a couple of things. You need the chlorine from the industrial molecules, and you need these special meteorological conditions which don't exist over the rest of the Earth's surface.
Chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs, have been eating away at the ozone layer since they came into wide use as refrigerants in the 1950s. Although the nations of the world have agreed to ban the use of CFCs and other ozone-destroying chemicals, it could be years before the ban has a positive effect.
At some point, probably just about the turn of the century or shortly thereafter, you should begin to see some recovery of ozone levels in the TOMS data. But it's not an instant phenomenon. The ozone levels are affected by lots of things, not just the chlorine in the stratosphere, but they're affected by a number of other natural processes.
The ozone question is being studied by many different researchers using a variety of instruments. The importance of TOMS data is reflected in the international participation in the project. The second instrument in the series flew on a Russian satellite, and a fourth will be launched by Japan in 1996.
The analysis of TOMS and related data is a very international effort. And for instance, right now, scientists from around the world are working on what's called an assessment report for the World Meteorological Organization and the United Nations Environment Program. And TOMS data always form a very central part of these latest assessments. In fact, the one that's being written now, if you look at the first chapter, that's where the TOMS data are, the very first chapter. It's so important.
Kay says that TOMS has the bonus of being able to track other gases in the atmosphere as well.
One of the neat things about TOMS is that not only does it measure ozone, but it can measure sulfur dioxide in the atmosphere at high levels. And it turns out that when you have a large volcanic eruption, like the Mount Pinatubo eruption in 1991, it puts a lot of sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere. And TOMS can see that. And in fact, it can actually track the volcanic cloud for a while just by looking at the sulfur dioxide that the volcano puts into the stratosphere.
This capability may eventually help airlines steer their planes clear of harmful volcanic clouds. TOMS' primary job, however, will be to keep monitoring the ozone layer into the next century, adding to scientists' understanding of this critical environmental problem. This has been The Space Story, brought to you by this station and NASA. For the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, I'm Bob Tebow.